you've got to love Christmas, right? It's filled with traditions from our childhood, things that we've brought with us. Yesterday was just a great day for me. The tradition of hanging the Christmas lights took place yesterday. This time I actually did it before it rained and before it turned like 20 degrees outside. Hung the Christmas lights, and you just have to have in our house there. We like the colors. We specifically chose the red and white colors to represent Christ's blood, his sacrifice, and the white to represent the purity that he brings us. What made yesterday so special is that we began to pass on a tradition, and that is that yesterday my son helped me hang the Christmas lights. Now, there is nothing dearer to a father's heart than having his son out there hanging Christmas lights. And he went through and changed all the broken bulbs and did all that kind of stuff and learned what happens when you drop a Christmas bulb. Jordan and I were able to share some, Jordan and I shared a secret together about my days when I used to hang Christmas lights as a kid, but that'll just remain between Jordan and I, right? Okay, so he learned some of the finer arts of Christmas bulbs. Let me just tell you about that. Anyway, so Christmas is a special time. It's filled with hope and joy and peace and love. It's filled with the Christmas carols that we sing at this time of year, and hanging the Christmas lights and decorating the home, and the smell of fresh baked cookies and family and friends. Christmas is a great time of the year. But Christmas is also filled with, how can I say it, filled with oxymorons, you know? Like this phrase, Christmas peace. That's an oxymoron to me. It seems to me that we desire peace. We desire peace in our hearts. We desire peace in our homes. We desire peace in our communities, our neighborhoods. We desire peace in our nation and around the world. We desire that peace. But then as I look at Christmas, and we talk about the Christmas peace, it seems that the Christmas time seems to be more than any other time, single time in the year, a time that peace is ravaged from us. It's a time when we are at inner turmoil over what to give or not give, or wanting to give and not having the resources to give, and we're just not at peace. It's a time when family comes together in the home to celebrate Christmas. And let's be really honest, for some of you, that is not a good thing, okay? There's sometimes that, you know, Uncle Bob is coming over and we just don't want Uncle Bob to come over, but he does. And it brings disturbances in the house. There are times when mom and dad are just a little more edgy at the Christmas season. And siblings sometimes get under each other's skin. Some of it has to do with that 2 weeks off from school. You know, whose idea was that? You know, to put kids back in the house at the most, you know, trying time of the year when all those presents are packed underneath the tree. Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace, but sadly, we seem so removed from it. Even the sense of need and war and disturbance seems heightened in the Christmas season. And I don't think it's supposed to be that way. Because one of the greatest gifts that God gave us in his Son was the gift of peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, in our communities, and in our world. God knew exactly what we needed, and at Christmas time, we are called to remember that great peace that Jesus brings. You know, when Jesus entered our world 2,000 years ago, the area of Jerusalem in the Middle East was not really too much different than what we face today. Think about it. You had a dominating world power in Rome. There was this thing called the Pax Romana, the Roman peace that went over all of the land. The only problem is that Rome kept its peace by an iron fist. And if any little disturbance would come in that level of peace, Rome would send its legion of centurions to kind of bring peace to the land. Not unlike what we do today. We try to bring peace to the land, but we often bring peace by military might, just like they did 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, with Rome in charge, there was lots of wealth in the land. There was incredibly wealthy people. Incredible temples were built, marketplaces built. There were people who had lots of money and lots of leisure time to enjoy it. Why do you think the Roman games and later on even the times in the Colosseum? Why could people go to the Colosseum? It's only because they didn't have anything else to do. Farmers didn't go to the Colosseum. They were out tilling their fields. But the rich, they could go to the Colosseum and watch the games, watch the war, watch the gladiators. But even though there was a tremendous wealth in Rome, there was also great poverty. People were eking out a meager existence, and that which even they brought home was taxed and taken from them. And then you had Israel, the people of God, chosen by God, established by God, now under the Roman government, marginalized, allowed to be there, allowed to have their worship, but really we're not players. We're just another nation to be ruled over. And their religion was marginalized, pushed to the edge. You know, it's not too much unlike today for us here. We have wars and we have peace. We have tremendous wealth and tremendous poverty. And we have a church, the people of God, who increasingly are being marginalized. Oh, we're allowed to be here, tolerated by some, but marginalized by most. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born. And the angels showed up to those shepherds out in the fields outside of Bethlehem, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest," just like we sang today. Gloria in excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to men on whom God's favor rests. Peace. If Israel needed anything 2,000 years ago, it needed peace in a Savior. If we need anything today, in 2009, it's peace. And God gives us that gift of peace. One of the great gifts that he gives us is a peace. Now, I'm going to look at a number of passages, and I want to encourage you to do something. I'm going to encourage you on your note page just to write down the reference of these passages. And then during this week, when you want to spend some time alone with God, just kind of just mark out your own little corner, this would be a good time for you to go back and read those passages. So let me first of all look at the gift we receive in this gift of peace. It's a great gift. That first verse that we already looked at in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The first thing we need to understand about God's gift of peace is it comes because of his favor. Have you ever given a gift because you had to give a gift? You know? What fun is that? And what fun is it to get that gift, knowing that the only reason the person gave you the gift is because everybody in the classroom had to give the gift? It was just expected of you to get that gift. But how much better a gift to receive because someone looks down upon you with favor, is excited to give you a gift, whatever it is. In fact, it doesn't even come on your birthday. It doesn't even come at Christmas. It's just a gift. Someone just sends you something in the mail and said, I was I was in the bookstore and I saw this book and I just know how much you love this author, so I just bought this book for you. Or I was walking through the market and I know that you love this kind of cheese and I saw this cheese, so I just bought this cheese and I just want to give it to you because I know you like this kind of cheese. Those are great gifts. Gifts that we get because of somebody's looking upon us with favor. And the first thing we need to realize about God's gift of peace is that he gives it to us because he wants to give it to us. It's a gift. He's excited. He looks at us and says, you know what you need? You need peace. And it would thrill me to no end to give you some peace. And so God gives us this gift of peace. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus speaking, tells us about this peace. He says, I am leaving you with peace, talking to his disciples. My very peace, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus says, don't be in turmoil. Don't be afraid. Don't be anxious because I am giving you a peace that's unlike any peace you have ever received before. It's not like the Pax Romana that is held in place by an iron fist. It is a peace that goes beyond understanding. It's a peace that will rest upon your troubled and fearful hearts. I'm giving you my peace. It's not a worldly peace. It's not based upon circumstance and situation. It's a peace that will be there even in the midst of trial. This gift of God's peace. But here is why God's peace is so unique, so special. We read in John chapter 16, verse 33, again, Jesus talking. He says, I've told you these things. I've told you that I'm going to heaven. I told you that I'm going to die. I've told you these things so that in me, you might have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, guaranteed. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Here's what's so unique and special and unbelievable about God's gift of peace. It's found in the person of Jesus Christ. That's where the peace is. It's not a peace that's over here somewhere. It's a peace that's found in relationship with the eternal God. That is where your peace comes from. From the eternal God who dwells within you. Peace comes when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Peace is not based upon how my day is today. Peace is based upon my relationship with Jesus. That it's Christ in me. And me in Christ. And no matter what the world pours out upon me, I can still be at peace because the God of peace is living within me. If we could grab that and understand that, our lives would be radically different. They would be changed. Our world would be banging on the doors of our homes and of the church saying, where do you get what you've got? How can you stand in the midst of this world, in the midst of your own personal crisis? How can you stand? Why aren't you pulling your hair out, gnashing your teeth, running and hiding? Why aren't you getting drunk and wasted just to hide the pain? Because Jesus is in me, and I am in Christ, and he is my peace. But we need to know this about this gift of peace. It's costly. It didn't come easy. In Colossians, Paul writes, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. Listen about peace, its giver, and its cost. Paul is writing about Jesus here. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness, all of the attributes and actions of God dwell in Jesus. Paul goes into length to say, Jesus is God. All things created by, for, and through him. And then he goes on to say, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through Christ, through Jesus, to reconcile to God all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. This almighty sovereign God came and died for us on the cross and purchased our peace. It's a costly peace. It cost everything. And it was paid by the one who did not need to pay it, who owned all things. Paul says to the Ephesians in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verses 14 through 18, for Jesus himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier. Now, Paul is talking about bringing the Jews and the Gentiles together, two different groups of people, the Jews representing God's people, the Gentiles representing everybody else, which includes most of us in this room. We are to everybody. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility between God's people and those who were not God's people, by abolishing in his own flesh the law with its commandments and regulations, that law which the Jews endeavored to live by but never did. His purpose was to create in himself one new man, one new person out of the two, one new body, thus making peace. And in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to those who were far away, the Gentiles, and he preached peace to those who were near, the Jews. Through Jesus, we both have access to one Father by one Spirit. This peace that Jesus purchased on the cross was a peace that reconciled us to God, but also reconciled us to each other. And it was a costly peace. One more thing about this gift that we receive. It is peace with God and the peace of God. Paul again writes to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our ability to understand, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if there is anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. If we want to know how to have the peace of God, we do it by laying our needs before him. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, pour out your requests to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You want to have God's peace in you? Then get on your knees and pour it out to Jesus. Then the peace comes. If you endeavor to continue to live life on your own, trying to seek your own peace, if I only buy one more thing, I'll have peace. If I only change one more thing in my life, I'll have peace. If I only marry this person or divorce this person or move to this house or go to this school, then I'll know peace. I'm going to here to tell you right now, you go ahead and do all of those things, and I guarantee you will find peace in none of them. None of them. There is no house that's going to give you peace. There is no relationship with a human being that's going to give you peace. The only thing that's going to give you peace is when you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, fall on your face before Him and say, God, I cannot do this. Thank you, God, that you are here with me. I need your peace. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And people will look at you and say, how do you stand in the midst of your crisis? And you will say, I don't have the foggiest idea. Because everything in my mind says scream. But yet I'm at peace. That's the peace of God that transcends your ability to explain it. I'd almost go as far as to say, if you can explain that peace, then you don't have it. If you can say, well, it's because this happened or that happened. No, it's peace that's there when nothing happens. It's peace when your house falls down. It's peace when you're... marriage does crumble. It's peace, the peace of God. And the Word of God tells us, and we can have God's peace Himself with us. The God of peace Himself will be with us as we surrender ourselves to Christ. This is a great gift that God has given us. And what we said last week was that God gave us the gift of light, and we were to take that gift of light and give it to others. That Christmas, if it's anything, it's not about getting, it's about giving. But we're looking at what we got so we know how to give it away. That's our theme here. God has given us so much, right? So now it's our responsibility to get rid of it, to give it away freely to other people. So the question is, how do we give away God's peace? How do we do that? Let me share with you just a few ideas. First of all, we need to wrap it in active prayer. If we look back at that Philippians passage, remember it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you want to, first of all, be able to give peace away, it needs to be wrapped up in prayer. You need to be on your knees before the Father saying, Jesus, I need your peace. Heavenly Father, I need your peace in me so that I can be so filled up with your indescribable presence and peace that I can give it away. Paul will also say, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, since you are members of one body and you were called to peace. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. So here's a question. He says in verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. My question is, as I'm reading that passage, and I'm assuming that some of you are asking the same question, sweet. How do we do that? How do I let the peace of Christ rule in my heart? Well, God is good. He answers the question. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You want to know how to have the peace of God dwelling in you richly? Let the word of God dwell in you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to the God, and whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. How do we give away this great gift of peace that God has given us? It starts with wrapping it up in active prayer. And when I'm talking about active prayer, it's just not prayer that we pray on our knees right here. It's prayer that gets us up and says, God, I want your peace to dwell in me. I want your word to dwell in me so that as I live out my life in my very words and my deeds, that peace will come out because it's you who's coming out in me. So if we want to give away the gift of peace, it starts first of all with us getting the gift of peace. And we get that gift of peace by getting on our knees before our Father and praying for that peace. The second thing we need to do is to give kind words. Now, we read this morning, the Krills read for us this morning from Isaiah chapter 40. And we could say, you know, it doesn't sound like very much like a Christmas section. But yet, the Christmas story is wrapped up in Isaiah 40. And Isaiah 40 gives us some handles about how we can give away this gift of peace. Isaiah chapter 40. First of all, give kind words and comfort. Verses 1 and 2. God says to the prophet Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed." Isn't it great to know when the workday is over? That the job is done? You know, when we have our kids working with us, and what do they always ask us? "Any more? Are we done yet? Are we done yet? Are we done yet?" God says, "You're done yet. It's all done." "That her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins." We need to speak words of comfort and peace and tenderness to one another and to our world, because our world is being screamed at. Television screams at us. The radio screams at us. The internet screams at us. Walk in the store, in the mall, and all we hear is screaming. Shouting from the billboards, from the glass windows, from the kids around us. We are filled with noise and harsh words of war and death, of disease, of destruction. We need to speak comfort and words of kindness and comfort. God says to Isaiah, "Go to Israel, go to the people and say this, comfort, comfort. Your sins have been atoned for. The price has been paid." And one of the ways that we can give away the gift of peace is learning to speak words of kindness and comfort to one another. I have so far to go in that lesson. I am very quick with my tongue. I can be a very harsh person. Sometimes just even kiddingly, but I can still be harsh. When the peace of Christ dwells in your heart richly, when the word of God dwells in your heart richly, we speak words of comfort and kindness. How about to shut-ins? How about to the people in the hospital? You know what they need to hear today? They need to hear words of comfort. You go to the hospital, go to the rest home, and what are they doing? They're watching television. And I've walked into hospital rooms and I watch people watching television, and I said, if I wasn't sick, watching what you're watching would just make me sick. Even in a hospital, we are bombarded. And we need to go in and visit people, our neighbors, our children, and speak words of comfort and peace to them. Another way that we can wrap up this gift and give it out is by making smooth paths of justice and mercy. Verses 3 and following of chapter 40 of Isaiah. "A voice of one calling in the wilderness, in the desert place, prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain will be made low, and the rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." We can bring peace to our world when we help lower the mountains that hinder people from seeing God and raise up the valleys that stop people from experiencing God. And we make a straight, smooth path for individuals so they can see the glory of God that is being revealed. There are too many people in the world today who are facing huge Mount Everests. And the glory of God could be shining on the other side, but they can't see it for the mountain that stands in front of them. There are people who are facing incredibly dark, deep valleys. so dark, so deep that they cannot get their eyes to see the light in the sky above them and see the glory of God. We can be instruments of God's peace as we seek to lower those mountains and raise those valleys and make a straight path. And we do that through our acts of kindness, our acts of justice, and acts of mercy. It may mean getting a jacket on a homeless guy down in Santa Cruz or underneath our bridge. It may mean giving money to build a well in Africa so a kid can have a cold glass of water that doesn't have bugs floating in it. It may mean adopting a child through Compassion International so that child will have the opportunity to go to school and hear about Jesus. It may mean going across the street with a plate of cookies to that person on your street that nobody likes. You know, the grumpy grandpa? The kids make a long beeline around his, you know, around the house. Don't go there. But you will go there. Because there are things in people's lives, there are mountains and there are valleys that keep them from seeing the glory of the Lord. And we can be actively involved in people's life by bringing them comfort or working for their justice or expressing mercy to them in a physical way so that they can see the glory of God. Then we need to share the good news. We need to share the good news. Isaiah 40, 6 through 10. A voice says, "Cry out," and I say, "What shall I cry? All the men are like grass, and the glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but because the breath of the Lord blows on them, surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him." We not only need to push the mountains down and raise the valleys up, but we need to make sure that in that process we are sharing the good news and pointing people to God that says, "Look, there is your God. That's the one you need to trust on. He's the one whose word will never, ever fail. There is God. Look at him." And we need to share the good news. Which brings us to the last aspect of the gift, and that is to point to Jesus. Verse 11. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young." That's our Jesus. That's our Jesus. He does not come with whip or cane, or club. He comes to gather up the lambs in his arms and hold them close to his chest. He loves them. And we have a responsibility as we give the peace of God to pray it into our friends and neighbors and coworkers and classmates' lives. We need to speak kind words of comfort to people who are downtrodden. We need to work to make those rough places smooth so people can experience the love of God in a tangible way. We need to share the good news that here is our God and that good news is wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. The peace that God gives us is a gift. It's one of the greatest gifts that he can give us, a gift of his grace and of his favor. The gift of God in Christ, that peace, is a gift of restoration. It restores us to God. Because of what Christ did on the cross, we have restoration with God. Our relationship that was broken, that was not at peace but at war, has now been restored, and we can have peace with God. But it also makes possible the restoration of the inward self. When you come to Jesus, and when you let Jesus be your Lord and your God, when you come to Him and throw all your sins out and say, God, I'm just a sinner, and I need to be saved, I need to be changed, I need You to be my God, I need You to come in and control and live in my life, we have restoration, not only with God, but there begins to have restoration with you inside. Because some of you, the biggest problem you face is you. You're not at peace with you. You look into the mirror and you don't like you. You're at turmoil with you. You have believed a lie for too long that says you are worthless, scum. You have been broken and beat up, maybe emotionally, maybe physically. But when Jesus comes into our heart, when the God of peace reigns in our lives, He not only restores us to the Father, but He can restore peace in the inner person. And when we have peace in the inner person, He can restore our relationship with others. When Christ rules in your heart, He makes it possible for you to be restored in your relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your parents. He breaks down the wall of dividing. But it starts with you being at peace with God. And the peace of God makes it possible to endure the crisis, whatever it happens to be. God gave us this gift fully, completely, for us to enjoy, for us to experience, for us to know, for it to guard our hearts, but He's also given us this gift to give out to people. I'm going to ask you to pray with me about God's peace. So let's do that. If you're praying now and you don't know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, now is the time that God says, I want to give you that gift. I want to give you my Son. I gave Him to you 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross and He rose again, and He's available to you today to make you one of my children, to restore you to peace with me. If you've never done that, today is the day that God says to you, here is peace. Receive it in the person of Jesus. And all it means for you is simply pray, Father God, I want Jesus. I can't do it on my own. I've done things that are just despicable and against You and Your love and Your law. God, I'm a sinner. I'm a broken person without peace, and I want peace. I want Jesus. And God says, whoever calls on to Him in Jesus' name will in no way be turned away. And then there's those of us who know God, who have been saved, but right now just feel far from peace. The Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, pour out your heart to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Pour it out now. Pour it out right now and receive God's peace. Lord God, we need peace. We want it. We desire it. We thank You for the peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord God, we know that You have given us these things not only so that we could have them and experience the joy that comes from the gifts that You give, But Lord, you've also given it to us to give away, not to hoard, but to give away. Lord, help us to be those who will speak words of comfort and kindness today. Help us be those who will seek for ways of showing justice and mercy and making the rough ways smooth so people can see you more clearly. Help us, Holy Spirit, to proclaim the good news. And help us, Lord, to point to you, the Good Shepherd, the Prince of Peace. Lord, help us to give the gift of peace, your peace, this Christmas. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.